We're continuing in our study this morning in 1 John. Our text today is 1 John 4, 7 through 21, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. The Lord has graciously blessed me with many great days in my life. You know the days that really stand out in your life. They help shape your life and make you who you are today. Two of those days that really stood out to me as I was studying this section in 1 John, two in particular days stood out. One of those days was just over 10 years ago, the day Ava, our oldest, was born. Now, those of you who were here and remember, it was a scary day as she was several weeks early and came in at a whopping 3 pounds. But it was a really great day. The Lord protected her and Elisa, and it will forever be a great day in my life. So you can guess the second great day, as I'm getting a look already. Second great day that I would think about is, yes, the day M was born. It was not as dramatic as the day Ava was born, but every day since has been much more dramatic for everyone who knows M. What stands out to me about these 2 days is when you hold that child in your hands for the first time, you just have love for that child. That baby is a part of you and is going to depend on you for every aspect of their life. What is incredible is you will take care of them, protect them, feed them, clothe them, love them, and you do all of this, and at first, they do not even love you back because they do not know what love is yet. We have that task to teach them love and how to love. How do we do this? Do we sit that infant or toddler down and give them a lecture on love, a history on love and the proper way to love? Or do we show them love from our actions, from our deeds, how we love? And how we show love to them is how they are going to express and show love in their life as well. That is what John is talking about in this passage of 1 John chapter 4. Love. We're talking about love. Now, of course, it's not the same as a human parent teaching love to a child. It is the holy God who first loved us, telling us to love and to love one another. As we continue our study, we'll look at this text today in chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. I'll read that text now. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we might have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. Cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Love God and love your brother. This is not the first time in this short book that we have heard John talk about love. It is actually the third time we are hearing about love from John in this letter. One book I read said this: this does not mean John has run out of ideas and has to repeat himself. It means John presents the subject once more for a deeper point of view. First, John talked about love for your brother, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. He talked about it as a test of living in God, of fellowshipping with God. We saw this in 1 John 2, verses 9 through 11, when we talked about the old but new commandment. That passage says this: whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Then John talks about love again in 1 John 3, verses 10 through 14, when we talked about love one another. This time he talked about love as proof of sonship, as being born of God, who is righteous. This passage says this: by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Now, John, in this section of this letter, talks about love again. He is talking about love and the Father's own being, his own nature, and his activity. Here we see why love is such an important part of the life of a believer, a life that is walking in the light. Love is part of the very being, the very nature of God. God is love. This love that we have is not a forced response. It will be a natural response as we practice love, because love is the nature of God. So first we're going to look at God is love. God is love. First today we are going to look at God is love in this section of 1 John 4. From his greeting in verse 7, we see beloved. We know John is talking to believers, as we have seen him address them as little children and also as beloved. His intention is to prove or to provide assurance that the community of believers' commitment to love is a requirement of the gospel as revealed in God himself. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ comes from God. As we know from previous chapters of 1 John, Love is evidence of our being born of God. Love is not a virtue innate in us, and it is not a learned behavior. We, as fallen, sinful people, are selfish people. Love is from God. He is the originator, the giver of love. Yes, whoever truly loves his brother not only is born of God, but also knows God. Verse 7 tells us, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." Knowing God means to be in a deep relationship with him, to be born of him, to enjoy his love. The way we know God is not just a knowledge of understanding facts. It is a matter of perceiving truth. If by love one another, true genuine love for one another, shows that we are not just born of God, but know God, verse 8 shows us what it is to not love. Verse 8 says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." It could be said of many people who do not believe in or follow God that they love their families and sacrifice for their families and sacrifice for the people that they love. We're not talking about that kind of love. We are talking about the love of God and the fact that God is love. So we must love as God loves. John in verse 8 adds the statement, "God is love." Dodd in the Johannine Epistles said this, "Love so conceived is not to be understood as one of God's many activities, but rather that all his activities is loving activity. If he creates, he creates in love. If he rules, he rules in love. If he judges, he judges. All that he does is the expression of his nature to love." One's failure to love, to true love, can only mean that we have not known or not have the true knowledge of God. True love is not inactive, because God is love. He communicates that love not only in words, but in deeds. His love to mankind in many ways. His creation speaks of his love. His daily provision and care for our daily needs gives evidence of his love. The amazing grace he bestows upon us testifies of his love. The greatest expression of God's love is in the death of his son. We'll see this in verse 9. "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him." Why was Jesus Christ made manifest among us? Chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him no sin." Manifest to take away sin. Also, chapter 3 and verse 8 of 1 John tells us, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." Where did Jesus take away our sin? Where did he destroy the works of the devil? At the cross. God manifested his love at the cross when he gave his son as a sacrifice for our sins. The profound statement, "God is love," is explained what God did. He showed his love among us. He sent his only son into the world that we might live. John makes it clear that the love he is speaking of involves action. God's love sent his son to die. God's love in us must move us to action, by which we show our love for one another. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, verse 10 tells us. We see from this verse that the sending of Christ into this world and his death on the cross were not prompted by man's love for God. They were prompted by his love for man. We see that Christ's death on the cross for sinners was so that we might live through him. That's what verse 9 tells us. And that he might be the propitiation for our sins. We all know that we are lost in our transgressions and sin. And all our good deeds are as filthy rags to the holy and perfect God. We were lost sinners in need of a Savior. And God, in his love, sent us his only Son to die that we might live. He was the perfect sacrifice for sin. God is light. God is holy and must uphold his law. God is love, and therefore he wants to forgive and save sinners. How can a holy God forgive sinners and still be consistent with his holy law and his holy nature? The cross. Christ's work on the cross makes this possible. Jesus Christ took the punishment for our sin and satisfied the judgment, the just demand of the holy law. God reveals his love and makes it possible for men to be saved by faith alone. Propitiation. We have talked about this word before. The title that John has given him before. We talked about this when we talked about walking in the light from 1 John 2. 1 John 2:2 says this, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Because we have talked already about this, I'll just quickly say this about propitiation. When we talked about walking in the light, I said propitiation means the satisfying of God's holy law. God is light. Therefore, he cannot turn a blind eye to sin. But God is love and wants to save sinners. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice, the propitiation for the sins of the world. For us to love is only as a response to his initial love for us. That is why this verse says that he loved us and sent his son. It is God's love for us that defines what true love requires, which is the commitment to action, sacrificial action, not just words. So for God, love requires that he send his son to be our propitiation. John in this verse is also pointing out the true view versus the view taught by false teachers. See, the false teachers claimed to love God, but did not understand love in Christian terms. But they understood love in the world's terms. The false teachers were teaching that it was that they loved God, not that God loved us. God loved us first, so we ought to love one another. Believers are exalted to love one another, again in verse 11, where it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We know God, therefore we should love one another. This exhortation to love one another is presented as a privilege as well as a responsibility. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Why? Because of the cross. Because we took that first step of salvation. For we knew salvation is through faith alone. After we realized what he did for us on the cross, our normal response ought to be to love him and to love one another. We should not be loving one another simply out of a sense of duty, but to love out of appreciation. That is true progress in understanding of love. We're going to see, because God is love, what he is doing in us. He abides in us. I know we have heard this from John already. A lot in this letter, John talks a lot about abiding in God and he abiding in us. Let's look at verses 12 through 13. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that he abides in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. He reveals himself through the lives of his children. Men cannot see God, but they do see us. That is why it is so important to love and so important to show God's love to other people. If we abide in Christ, we will love one another. Our love for one another should reveal God's love to the lost and to a needy world. God is love. God's love originates in himself and was manifest in his Son and is perfected in his people. God's love for us is perfected when it is reproduced in us, among us, in our Christian fellowship. As I said, John talks a lot about abiding. In this chapter, from verses 12 through 16, he uses the word abide 6 times. As we have talked about, it refers to our personal relationship or personal relationship with God, because we are now born of God. We have union with Christ, and we abide in him, and he abides in us. We know this because he has given us his Spirit. Let's look at verses 14 through 16. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Jesus did not simply reach the love of God. He proved it by giving his life on the cross. He expects his followers to do likewise. If we abide in his love, we must share this love with others. Whenever we share this love, is the proof in our own hearts that we are abiding in Christ. We know verse 12 tells us no one has ever seen God. Then we come to verse 14 that states, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son. We do see by faith that the cross was for our sin and for our salvation as well. We do see in Jesus our own Savior, the Lord. We do see in the fellowship of faith the presence of his love. And because his Spirit is given us this ability to see, we are compelled to give account of these events. Abiding in God's love produces wonderful spiritual benefits in the life of a believer. You will grow in knowledge and faith. The more we love God, the more we understand the love of God. The more we understand his love, the easier it is for us to trust him. When you love someone and know someone so well, you have no problem putting your confidence in them. This is growth in your Christian walk. As you abide in Christ and spend time in fellowship with him, you come to love God more and more. You'll also grow in your love for other believers, for the lost, and yes, for even your enemies. As you share the Father's love with others, you will experience more of the Father's love. Abiding in love and abiding in God and having God abide in us is so vitally important. We see and know that God is love. Now we will see God's perfected love. The perfection or completeness of love is confidence. Confidence should be the mark of every relationship to God. Verse 17 tells us, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is also, are we in this world, just as Jesus abides in the Father, and this abiding already marked his earthly life and gave him confidence before God in the face of temptation, trials, and even death. So in this world, we also must abide in the Father's love and share in that same confidence when we face temptations, trials, and even death. We know as humans we have fears. We fear the past, we fear the present, and we fear the future most of all. But a believer does not have to fear, for the day of judgment, as verse 17 puts it. We do not have to fear, but we have confidence. We have confidence because Christ suffered his judgment for us on the cross. By his perfect love, we have confidence in Christ. We have confidence in abiding in him and he abiding in us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love, verse 18 tells us. We do not need to fear because there is no fear in perfect love. As we grow in the love of God, we cease to be fearful because our confidence in him is grown in him. We do not need to fear. God wants believers to live, to abide in love. And that love leads to confidence, not fear. We do not need to fear life or death because of God's perfect love. As we grow in fellowship with the Father, gradually the fear vanishes away, and our hearts will be controlled by his love alone. We find rest in God's love. Your growing confidence in the presence of God is one evidence that your love for God is maturing. One book I read said this of verse 19. The love with which we love is not our own. We do not create it, nor do we even have the power to express it. It is always God's love, or Jesus' love, in us. He goes on to say, but because we abide in the Father and in the Son, the love becomes also our love. It is not even as he loves. So we return to him his own love and love him with the gift of his love. So also we love our brothers with the love God has also loved us. We love because he first loved us, verse 19 tells us. This love John speaks of originates with the Father. It becomes manifest in and through the Son, and now that love must characterize the life of the children of God. Then we come to verses 20 and 21, and they are summarizing this section on love. They say, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. The confidence we have in knowing God and knowing the love of God delivers us from fear. This confidence, however, does not deliver us from action. Remember, love is action, not just knowledge. God's love for us and in us gives us the confidence to love our brother and sister in Christ as God loves them. To fail at this, to not love your fellow believer, proves that you are a liar. For he who does not love his brother cannot love God. If we love God as we should and as he loves us, then the outpouring of that love is to love others. Then we see the life of love is a life of obedience to the teaching of Christ. He gives the command in verse 21, whoever loves God must also love his brother. If you love God, if you say you love God, then the proof of this love is in the love of your fellow believer. We know the story from Mark 12, when Jesus was asked, what commandment was most important of all? Jesus answered him in Mark 12, verses 30 and 31, and this was his answer. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And love your brother. We also find this in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, 34 through 35. It says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, and you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Are you living a life of love? A life that is a life of obedience to the command of God. We all know we can talk about love. We can pretend to love and have a nice outward show of it. But do you love God because of and through that love? Do you love your brother and sister in Christ the way God loves them? Do not be a liar, as verse 20 talks about. Do not say you love God if you hate your brother. Obey the command of the Lord and love your brother as God first loved us. We have the ultimate example of love in the manifestation of love on this earth in the life of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross for you and for me. He suffered and died for you and for me. And now through that love, we must love others. We must put that love into action as we love the children of God. Whoever loves God must also love his brother, the commandment tells us. And we know we can do this. We know that we can love God and love his brother through the grace of God that he bestows on us, through the grace of God that he gives us every day. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray this morning. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we honor and worship you, for Lord, you are love. Lord, you have taught us love, that in every action that you do is through love. As you rule and reign, it is through love. And Lord, I pray that we would learn to love as you love. Lord, help us to learn to love you first and foremost, but Lord, help us to love one another as you have loved us. Lord, help us to put our love into action as we show our love to one another, as we show our love to our neighbors, as we show our love to the world. Lord, I pray that we would, in doing so, point people to the love of God, the love of God that was made manifest in Jesus Christ as he came to the cross, that we may have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you give us the grace that we need every day to show your love, to live in your love, to abide in you as you abide in us. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.